Welcome back to part two of our Flipcast with Linklaters. If you have not, make sure that you check out part one. And so to continue the conversation, we have with us Peng Chua, who is a partner with the Financial Regulatory Group. We have Adrian Fisher, who is a partner with the TMT practice. And we have Rob Elliott, who's a corporate partner with Linklaters.
Now, I would love if we started talking a bit more specifically about Linklaters and your innovation strategy and all of the stuff that you're doing, and particularly how Linklaters is positioning itself to take advantage of all of these different changes, shifts in the legal landscape. Maybe, Rob, do you have some thoughts on that? Do these changes really sound like the death of big law?
Well, clearly not to us. Mm. And I think it's worth really setting the scene for how Linklaters operates, because it's a pretty complicated business model. And I think it's quite simplistic to frame it within the label of big law, because obviously within different law firms, they'll have different structures. But in terms of the market that we operate in is not a single market. There are multiple different markets that each of our different practice areas focus on. And the strength of Linklaters is to collaborate within those to notice how we can interact in a more effective way to deliver a better service to our clients. So the other element of that is how we think about how we operate. And I'm a quite good example of someone who's focused on a sector rather than necessarily a particular jurisdiction or a particular practice area. I do M&A. I do it for predominantly financial sponsor clients, but I do so in a way that hopes to lever our sector knowledge across the world in order to try to drive the sector forward on a client-facing basis, so responding to what that particular subset of clients needs around the region. Whereas different people within the organisation will obviously have very different focus areas depending on who their client base is. So understanding that complexity of how we're operating and then where we hope to try and lever different expertise, both on a jurisdictional basis and on a product basis, is core to understanding how we then approach innovation and how we address change within the market we operate in, within markets we each operate in. And part of that, from a Linklaters perspective, is to make sure that our structure around innovation is flexible enough to respond to these different practice areas, these different markets that we operate in. So we have a very decentralized process to address innovation, and that is very much focused around making sure we're empowering our people in different markets, across different practices, to think about what change is required to best service clients in those chosen markets, and then to ensure that they have the support needed to actually implement that. So within our global framework, we have an innovation and efficiency core team. That's a very limited number of people, but their role is to make sure that ideas that are coming up and being implemented across our global network are cross-pollinated into different practice areas and different markets where they might also be able to lever off the same innovation. And then we have practice innovation and efficiency teams who come together in different offices and different practice areas to then brainstorm where we can actually change how we practice, what we're doing, and to try to create an environment where we're having a collaborative conversation around that across different jurisdictions. And within that framework, we then try to make sure that we have enough support to actually test out some of these ideas. Because clearly, in an organization this large, actually, with the right support, we can implement these things on a vast scale. But actually, there is a critical threshold decision whether to pursue every idea that comes up. And actually, a lot of the time, we need to test these, make sure actually they're practical when they're actually implemented. And the way that we do that is through we have various supporting mechanisms within the organisation to do that. We have a legal tech working group, which is based out of London, but it's a team of people who can actually work with the technology and collaborate with other providers to actually produce test cases for products that may be thought up by some of these practice teams, practice and efficiency teams. We have an innovation fund, which is like a time bank to incentivize our people to spend time on innovation. And what we implement around the network, and we've recently done one in Singapore on Agile Working, is an ideas pathway where over the course of a short period, kind of like a hackathon, we get a lot of people online to post ideas about things that they think need to be changed and how we might go about changing that. And then we come back as a group, as practice innovation efficiency team in Singapore, and assess those ideas and how we might implement those in practice.
So, Rob, you briefly touched on how the firm is leveraging legal technology to create better value for clients and to facilitate change and innovation internally as well. So I might actually direct the next question at Adrian. I'm really curious to know how Linklaters has deployed technology to enhance efficiency and create further value for your clients.
When we develop new technologies and use new technologies, for me, it should always be in collaboration with our clients. So we have developed machine learning tools that can help with document comparisons and make the process of just managing large amounts of information more efficient. And a great example of how we did that in collaboration with the client is that we worked with one of our banking clients in Singapore to actually pilot that tool for their confidentiality agreements. You know, so they had a lot of confidentiality agreements and they weren't quite sure whether they were signing their standard documents or the deviations. And so we partnered with them, we worked closely with them for a number of months to refine the tool so it suited their needs. And so for me, that's a great example of how when we use technology, it should really be about taking into account what our clients want and what is useful for them. So then pivoting the point to culture, to me, innovation is so much of innovation is about, I think the word's been used before, mindset. It's about making sure that we as lawyers are thinking in an entrepreneurial fashion, in a way that empowers everyone on our teams to achieve their best. Because really, when we do that, then suddenly change and success starts from the bottom. So a big part of what we've been working on and kind of that is building up in our teams is about ensuring that our associates and our business teams are involved in building client relationships, thinking about what issues are going to be impacting our clients next. And for me, I think that is really at the heart of it. And a lot of the change comes from that cultural mindset shift.
So that really comes back nicely to what we were talking about initially in terms of building up a partnership with clients and finding new ways of working with clients to create meaningful value for them, and thinking more broadly about their needs beyond a purely legal or technical solution, right? And I think you touch on a lot of these points and many other things in a recent publication with Microsoft, which is really exciting. And it's titled Lawyers, Agents of Change in a World of Digital Transformation. And we'll include a link to that publication in the show notes for anyone who's interested in reading more. But essentially, Adrian, you touch on some really interesting points about how, and it's a really great read in terms of understanding how lawyers have opportunities to work more collaboratively with clients and understanding how they can more proactively work within a firm to create some of that value for the people that they work with, right? Paying, I'm going to direct the next question to you. How has Linklaters changed the delivery of legal services internally in light of all those changes and in light of all those changes that Adrian has just addressed?
In terms of how we have changed the way we deliver legal services, well, I would say it's tied very much to what Adrian talked about in terms of culture. as well, is the whole point about looking towards our people, and that they are stuck into the challenges that we face every day, and they are a key part of the solution. So what we have been working on, it's also tied to giving them the resources, making them feel empowered to make change. So one good example is the idea of design thinking, legal design, which is actually has been driven forward by an MA in agents team, and where it's a very simple concept that and I've had first-hand experience having been in-house counsel, where it's the idea is to solve the problem that we as lawyers generally across firms tend to deliver advice that may not be easiest to read, may not be engaging, and it's as a recipient, and I've been a recipient. And the other example I just mentioned in terms of delivery of legal services is again tied to our people, and that goes to agile working, and that really is working in a way that suits you, and at the same time not compromising the delivery of service to our clients. And it's not just about working from home, thinking at having an agile career path, recognizing that not everyone in the firm may want to become a partner, or indeed looking at someone who may not necessarily have grown up in a big law firm, but being able to provide a diverse view as well as a different perspective. So I myself have had an agile career path in the sense that I've grown up in a domestic firm, and then I went to spend a number of years in a bank. So in that sense, I think just having that mindset and that open mind to look at different types of individuals, and it would all go towards retaining talent, which is key in for us firm as we look at how we should continue to tailor our delivery of legal services to our clients.
Another element I think is worth touching on there is when we're thinking about the delivery of legal services, we have a tendency as lawyers to think that we need to do everything ourselves. Actually, we've brought in members of our business teams who can actually do a lot of what we're trying to do in terms of deliver, as Feiling says, more attractive service products to our clients, and do so in an efficient way. So we have legal project managers now in many of our offices to help try and lever off some of the skills they have coming from different backgrounds and different businesses to help us actually coordinate large matters more efficiently across multiple jurisdictions, and doing a lot of the collating and a lot of the analytics that as lawyers we just don't have the skills to do in as efficient a way. And so taking the pressure off the lawyers to do that kind of thing, putting it in the hands of people who can do it much better, is a key part of actually changing the mindset around what our role is. And the more we can focus on the value add we have as lawyers and take some more of those tasks and put it in the hands of people who can do that more effectively than we can, is an important part of that value add that we can give to clients.
And picking up on the legal design point, I mean, one group of people that we've started working with over the last 12, 24 months that I've never worked with before are designers. So we actually have clients who ask us now to present our advice visually, and that requires us to actually map out what a piece of advice looks like, and then find someone who's able to put that into, you know, a beautiful form to be able to present it to clients. And I'm noticing that request is coming up more and more actually. So the legal design point I think is a really important one for us.
I think one other thing I'd touch on, and it relates to a couple of the previous questions you both have asked, is in terms of technology and in terms of clients' expectations, we're expected to really be harnessing the data we have as an organisation nowadays in a more effective way than I think we have done before. And so one of the biggest challenges we face as a global law firm is actually levering off some of that institutional knowledge and empowering our people with that. And so one of the technologies that we've recently launched globally called Matter Explorer is designed to do that, where after every single transaction, we group a lot of the data we collect about that particular transaction in the sector, and think bespoke to how we deliver our services in that particular matter, and we make it available online in a way that people could search, and then we also make the documents that we worked on subject to confidentiality restrictions on many matters, but in a way that we can find the right person to speak to globally about a particular subsector or a particular new novel product that we might be offering, and see how that's been applied in a client-facing way, so that actually we can all lever off the knowledge that we're producing in different areas of the world, and then harness that and deliver it in other places as well.
It is absolutely a proprietary tool that we had created, and I think some of the challenges with the off-the-shelf solutions is really that it was not able to draw the information from different systems, so which is actually a problem that many banks and other financial institutions have, where they have systems that don't talk to each other, and therefore they're not able to harness the full power of their data. So I think for Meta Explorer, what's amazing is that it does sit above our different systems and is able to search across the various systems, and therefore it's incredibly invaluable.
Okay, let's start thinking about the future, of Big Law, and what that might look like in 5 to 10 years. Adrian, maybe you can start. Any thoughts around how firms can position themselves to continuously improve in this rapidly changing world?
I'd love to be able to tell you what we're going to look like in 5 to 10 years. I suspect anything I say will turn out to not be true. I think ultimately the way that we position ourselves to get better is listening to our clients and our people, and both are equally important. So obviously our clients are vital, and where they go, we will go with them. And so it's very important that we continue to stay close to them, to understand what they're going through, what developments are impacting them, to make sure that we understand those ourselves, even if they're not legal, and to partner with them over that change. Alongside that, it's very important we continue to listen to our people, to listen to what they want, how they want to work, what pressures they're under, what technologies they want to use. And I think if we can do both of those things well, if we can be even more collaborative than we currently are, break down the silos, work across practices, then I think in 5 to 10 years, that there'll be a lot of great stuff going on.
Okay, for the last question, I will get Krista, whose future depends on these answers.
Yeah.
Krista, go ahead.
Sure. So I'll direct this question at Rob. Rob, I'm really curious to know, how will the practice of law continue to change in the future, sort of drawing off what Adrian was saying before about how firms can leverage their own networks and continue to work more collaboratively with clients in the future?
I think that it will become even more important to make sure we're collaborating and working together to notice trends across jurisdictions and across practice areas. And as the world develops to respond to geopolitical uncertainties, which I think will continue over the coming years, and the business challenges to the incumbents across industries, there'll be even more pressure on us to make sure we are delivering pragmatic advice to our clients to deliver our mission statement, which is really legal certainty in this changing world. And we need to make sure that we're doubling down on the cultural points that we've talked about to make sure we empower our people to do that, and harness the information we have within our organization to make sure that we can respond to those most effectively to our clients and be proactive in doing so, so that we recognize their needs and respond to that as in as tailored a way as possible.
And does anyone have anything to add on top of that? I'd really love to know, drawing off your response, Rob, what are the new types of skills and the type of mindset that a lawyer of the future working in a firm such as Linklaters might have in order to take advantage of these opportunities?
Sure, Crystal. So I would actually echo many of the things that we had already said from Rob and Adrian, which I would say two things. The first is in terms of mindset and culture, it's recognizing that the whole concept of innovation, it's not just a series of ad hoc initiatives. It has to be embedded in the way we do business, to constantly ask ourselves, is there a better way to do this? Is there a different way of doing this that's going to create a better result for our client? And it just has to be something we ask ourselves for everything that we do, in the way we deliver legal advice, and the way we organize ourselves as a business, and the way we partner with our clients. Then the second thing I would say is it goes to collaboration and partnership, recognizing that we cannot do it by ourselves, and that we do need to collaborate with our clients and collaborate internally within the practice groups, within with the business teams, and also collaborate with regulators. So for example, we are working on an industry project with the Blockchain and Crypto Association in Singapore, and it also involves the Banking Association regulator to help resolve the issue of bankability. It's work in progress, but that is, I thought, an excellent example of how collaboration is just crucial, and it's what lawyers of the future need to bear in mind.
I would add one thing to that, which is I think Flip plays a very important
role. Yeah, I was waiting for it! 45 minutes later!
Because actually collaborating with other stakeholders amongst law firms is essential to making sure Singapore as an innovative community really evolves in the way it needs to respond to these changes. And having the training, the networking, the hackathons, all these things which Flip is behind and trying to promote within the legal industry in Singapore is essential to staying at the forefront of what is a very quickly developing legal market around the world.
I agree with all that, and I think in addition, probably a couple of things to say. One is maintaining curiosity is really important. I don't think you can do this job if you're not curious about learning and about new challenges, and that's only going to get more acute. And I think that the second thing is, one thing that I've noticed is with the advent of the convergence of technology with pretty much everything, is that the ability to collaborate effectively is so important. And I think Payne and Rob have already mentioned this. You know, a great example is around fintech. So Payne and I really work with kind of in each other's pockets on fintech. There are things that I can do. There are things that Payne can do. There are things that we can't do. We kind of need each other to be able to provide a service. And so I really think that it's important that we break down those silos, and that we don't think too much about specialities, but we think about how we can work together to deliver to our clients.
Okay, well, wow. This has been an absolutely brilliant conversation and very, very certainly insightful, but also quite candid. So thank you so much to the three of you for your time today. Thank you to my fabulous co-host, Krista. It's been great, guys. So thank you so much. We look forward to seeing where you and Linklaters go next.
Thank you.